This is your tech news briefing for Friday, October 16th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Lawmakers want to talk to Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey after his company blocked users from sharing some New York Post articles. Facebook also made moves to limit the spread of the articles. The back and forth is resurfacing a conversation about social media companies' role in policing the posts on their platforms and where the line is between content moderation and censorship. Our global tech editor, Jason Dean, will join us to discuss after these headlines. Last week, IBM said it was restructuring so it could focus on newer technologies like cloud computing and artificial intelligence. Now, IBM is partnering with a software company, ServiceNow, on an AI-based offering that would help organizations predict, prevent, and respond to outages and other IT problems much faster than humans can. IT operations have gotten more complex in recent years, making it harder to identify and solve these sorts of problems. And analysts say unplanned downtime can cost a large company hundreds of thousands of dollars in revenue per hour. Speaking of outages, some Twitter services were disrupted for more than 2 hours yesterday, with some users unable to see or send tweets. The company said it was having trouble with its application programming interface, or API. That's a bit of code that allows different pieces of software to connect with its service. Twitter said last night that there was no evidence of a security breach and that it had largely restored service by the evening. And YouTube is the latest tech giant to take action against QAnon. It said yesterday that it would ban videos from QAnon or any other conspiracy group that call for violence. In the past, Google, which owns YouTube, has tried to avoid removing content outright. And the decision comes after similar restrictions on QAnon from Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. All right, after the break, we'll stay on this topic of social media companies as content moderators and what happens when mainstream media is involved. That's next. The Senate Judiciary Committee plans to issue a subpoena to Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey next week. Republicans want to question Dorsey after the social media company blocked New York Post articles that made new allegations about Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden, which the Biden camp has denied. The Post said the articles were based on emails that allegedly described a meeting between then-Vice President Joe Biden and an executive at the Ukrainian energy firm Burisma, on whose board Biden's son, Hunter Biden, served. The emails were, according to the Post, provided by allies of President Trump. The response from Twitter and Facebook is bringing up questions about how social media companies decide which posts get seen and which don't. This is a really complex topic, and so we turn to our global tech editor, Jason Dean, to help us break it down. Jason, thanks for joining me.
My pleasure.
Okay, so let's start with Twitter's response to these Post articles. Why did Twitter say it was blocking them?
It said it was blocking them because it suspected that they were derived from material that had been hacked, and also because the articles and photos contained personal information that wasn't authorized.
Which Twitter said was against its policies. And actually, Twitter's not alone here. Facebook took action as well. What did they do, and how did their reasoning compare?
Facebook said it was downranking the articles on its platform, which is a way that they limit how far and wide articles are spread. They said they were doing that while they fact-checked the articles, which is something that could take some time.
And how does this example fit into the way that these companies have been trying to address misinformation ahead of the election thus far?
The companies were widely criticized after the 2016 presidential election for not doing enough to prevent the use of their platforms for manipulation, disinformation, and other problematic content. So they've put a bunch of policies in place over the last 4 years, and particularly just in recent months and even in recent weeks, to try to address that for this election. In this instance, part of the consideration is that there were hacked emails from the Democratic National Committee in 2016 that were dumped by what we learned later were Russian agents. And they did that to sabotage the U.S. presidential election. So part of the consideration of social media platforms is to try to ensure that something like that doesn't happen again. This time, they both seem to make the judgment that these Post articles and the contents of them sort of tripped the mechanisms that they had set in place to try to prevent the spread of problematic information on their sites this time. Of course, many disagreed with that.
And, you know, like we've mentioned, we've seen social media companies block content before, but these were articles from a mainstream media source. And by the way, we should note the New York Post is owned by News Corp, which also owns the Wall Street Journal. And the Journal has also not independently verified the Post reporting. Still, does that make this different? And what does it say about the role social media is playing as a gatekeeper, so to speak?
Yes, they have taken action against what, you know, might be called mainstream news sites and other news sites before. But certainly the action has raised a lot of questions, and the company's communication or lack thereof, or lack of clarity in their communication about why exactly they were taking the actions and where they're drawing the lines also just fueled those questions. So among them are, well, what about other articles that have been written in other publications that are based on materials that are obtained through hacking? And by the way, I should say it's not clear that the emails here were obtained through hacking. The provenance of them is just not been verified by us. But that is the concern. And other outlets, including the Wall Street Journal, have in the past used material that was made public as a product of hacking as part of their reporting. So, you know, question is, what does it mean for those cases? Others would point out, you know, this is a particular circumstance. We're less than 3 weeks ahead of the U.S. presidential election, and this was something put out by, you know, one side of the fight against the other.
Yeah, and on that note, both sides of the political aisle have been critical of the way social media companies moderate content on their platform. How have lawmakers been reacting to these companies' decisions?
Well, not surprisingly, it varies depending on the party. The Republicans have been particularly concerned in their public statements about the idea that the platforms are tilted in favor of Democrats, that they are biased, that their employees are biased. Democrats, not to say that they have no concerns about limitations on free expression, but the substantial worry on that side of the equation is about the use of the platforms to manipulate or distort the public discourse. And so, you know, generally speaking, there's more support for the companies taking actions to put limits on that.
And, you know, I just want to zoom out to the bigger picture here. These are companies with billions of users who generate vast numbers of posts and other kinds of content every day. The challenges of moderating all of that is a really tall order, and it seems like there's no real way to win.
I think that's right. You know, one might not have terribly large sympathy for them because this is a bet of their own making. They created the business model, and particularly in Facebook's case, it's been incredibly lucrative for them. But the situation they're in right now, there's not really a winning path for them. If they take no action or less action in general or in a particular case, they will be vilified by one side. If they do take action, they'll be vilified by the other. And the set of judgments that they need to make as they take more responsibility over time for what's distributed on their platforms is incredibly complicated.
You know, as these companies do make those decisions, what are the stakes if they get it wrong? And why is it so important that they get it right?
Well, I suppose that depends a bit on who you ask also. From one perspective, the stakes if they get it wrong is the very health of the national discourse and our political and electoral system. I mean, ultimately, the concern is that these platforms can be used to distort and manipulate public opinion and public action at the polls. But, you know, there's also a concern that they wield an enormous amount of power and influence over the public discourse in a way that if they put limits on speech, they're imposing their own institutional values on the public discussion. And that concerns people as well.
All right. Our global tech editor, Jason Dean, thank you so much for joining me.
Really my pleasure. Thank you.
That's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Chris Zinsley is our supervising producer, and Kateri Yoakum is the executive producer of Wall Street Journal Podcasts. I'm your host, Amanda Llewellyn. If you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. Thanks for listening. See you next week.